If you've got your Bible there, let me ask you to go to the book of Isaiah. That's in the Old Testament, if you find that to begin with. The book of Isaiah.
Now look for chapter 7.
Chapter 7 of Isaiah.
Praise the Lord.
Isaiah chapter 7. Now there's one mother in the scripture that is probably revered and held up above all other mothers. And there are certain sections of the church today hold that mother, that is Mary, the mother of Jesus, hold her in a special place of honor. And I believe that she is due some honor because God said that she was blessed above all other women. But I don't believe that she needs to be made an idol of them, that we need to worship her. Because she, out of her own mouth, in the scripture, in the book of John, said, "My God and my Savior," and she acknowledged that she also had need of a Savior. So we want to talk for a moment, if we can, just about Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus. She was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. The scripture tells us that the Holy Ghost came and overshadowed her, even though she was a virgin. She had not yet had relations, that is, in the area of sexual relations with a man, even though she was espoused to Joseph. She had not gone to that place where so many girls seem to get to today, and they have the sexual relation before the marriage, sort of tie before you buy. Mary was not that type of person. She believed in the teachings of the Word of God, and she was blessed among women, and the Lord chose her to be the vessel or the virgin that would bring forth Jesus. The Holy Ghost overshadowed her, and she gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've got some good news for you today, and it concerns you personally, that the Holy Ghost wants to overshadow you and get you pregnant today, even you men, on the Word of God. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and she became pregnant and brought forth Jesus, who is the living Word. And it's still the same today. The Holy Ghost wants to overshadow you and overshadow me, because he is the Spirit of truth, and he will lead us into the truth. And he wants to bring us to that place where we will bring to birth the Word in our life, and where the Word will begin to produce in our life. And this, of course, is solely a work of the Holy Spirit. And there's no other way that it will work, that it will come to birth, only by the Holy Spirit. Now, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, let's look at three verses there, starting at verse 14 in chapter 7. And we're going on a tour, if you like, through the Word of God today, and I want to show you how you can get pregnant on the Word of God. You need to be overshadowed by the Spirit of God and become, if you like, a pregnant person. Soon I didn't say a lady or a gent, but a person who is bringing to birth the Word in their life. Verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." A sign. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive," this is Mary speaking off prophetically, "and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Now Emmanuel means God with us. "Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and to choose the good." Now if you are a person who is being overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, and you've got the Word coming to birth in your life, you will be a person who will know to refuse the evil and to choose the good. You will know that, because the Holy Ghost will bring that Word to birth in your life. Verse 16, "For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings." Now, we're not getting into that historical aspect of it. We want to pick out that piece about the fact that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us, speaking prophetically of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now look over into the book of Matthew, chapter 1, and find the actual birth of Jesus here in the first chapter of the New Testament, that is Matthew, chapter 1. Praise the Lord. There it is. Matthew, chapter 1, starting at verse 18. And this gives an account of the birth of Jesus. And this is the actual birth of Jesus. And the other that we read in Isaiah was speaking prophetically or speaking forward to this time. And now we've jumped that period of time from Isaiah, some 600-700 years up to the actual birth of Jesus. Now the birth of Jesus, Christ was on this wise. "When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph," that means engaged, "before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." So here is Mary,
and Joseph suddenly find themselves in a situation where they are engaged and Mary's pregnant. By today, it's taken to be almost the dumb thing. Many couples today are well and truly fathers and mothers before they ever get to the altar to be married. And that can happen, as they say, could happen to the bishop. But I tell you, beloved, Mary and Joseph faced a situation because they suddenly discovered, and their culture didn't allow for it. The law demanded that if that happened, that Mary would be taken out and stoned to death. That's what would have happened if Joseph had made a public example of her. She would have been taken out and stoned. But listen what happened. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, right? He was a righteous man, that's what it means. And not willing to make a public example of her, that means to divorce her or to, you know, put her away, was minded to put her away privily. In other words, what he was trying to do was just get her to, perhaps this was his thought, go off somewhere quietly and have the baby, and that would be all finished. If he made a public example of her, then the law would take over and she would be stoned and put to death. Verse 20, But while he thought, it says, while he thought on these things, while he was meditating on what he should do, while he was thinking about the things that he should do in the situation that he found himself in, it says there in verse 20 that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. And it's interesting, you know, when you face a situation, if you will go to prayer and honestly seek the face of God, you're going to get an answer. You're going to get an answer. You're going to find answers will come to you. And the angel Gabriel came here. It was Gabriel, if you want to check it out, that came here and spoke to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David. Now, just let me throw something in for you here. Joseph was of the lineage of David. Jesus did not have Joseph as his actual father. Jesus was an adopted son. Think about it. Jesus was adopted by Joseph. Their culture meant that he was an adopted son. And we, beloved, are adopted into the family of God today. We recognize our father through adoption. Now, I'm not getting into the historical aspect of it. I'm throwing something in for you to think about. And if you're a Bible student, you can go through and check this out. All right? Now, where are we? Verse 20. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, this is what we read before in the book of Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now note that Joseph was the one who gave him the name. And he did not enter into a sexual relationship with his wife until after the birth of Jesus. And as you know, if you've read through the Word, you'll find that there were other brothers as well. Now, turn over to the book of John, chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 1, and verse 1. John, chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, and then verse 14. All right, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Him is the Word. And without Him, that is the Word, Jesus, was not anything made that was made. In Him, verse 4 says, that is the Word, was life. Beloved, there is only one way to live life and to experience life, that is to live in and by the Word of God. There is no other way. you try it by any other method, you'll find that you come to an end which is death. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof is death. If you live in the Word of God, then you will live in life, because the entrance of His Word bringeth light. And light means development and life. Now, here we have the fact that the Word was in the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things that were made by Him, that is, the Word. And the Word was growing in Mary because she had been overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And just as the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, so you and I today need to be overshadowed by the Spirit of truth, that that Word might be planted deep inside of us, that it might be planted deep into our spirit. When we receive the Word of God, and Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, when that Word is planted in our spirit by the Holy Spirit, and we allow that to happen, note, we must allow it to happen. When we allow that Word to get deep inside of us, I want to tell you something. The enemy is defenseless against you and against the Word of God. When you allow it to take up root in your heart and begin to produce in your life, the enemy becomes defenseless against a believer who is pregnant on the Word of God. The enemy cannot do anything against you, because it says in James 4 and verse 7, and we mentioned this on Thursday night, that if we would submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, he will what? Flee from us. All right. So as we submit ourselves to God and allow the Holy Ghost to put the Word in us, that's the submission, then we can stand up on the strength of that Word that's growing in us daily, resisting the enemy, and he will then flee from us. Too many times today, dear charismatic Pentecostal people, hear a message about, well, just resist the devil and he'll flee from you. No, he won't. Not until you've submitted yourself to God. You've got to give the whole verse. Don't take it out of context or take a part of it. If the text is taken out of context, it's a pretext. It must be in the context that it's written. And in resisting the devil, it comes out of submission to God. Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. I came to do the will of Him that sent me. And Jesus also said, you can do nothing without me. And He is the Word. So the Word must become a part of us. It must live in us. 1 John 4:4 tells us that the greater one, Jesus, the Word, indwells us. He is living within us. Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that liveth, but the Word, Christ, that lives in me. Can you see what I'm trying to tell you today? That you need to get pregnant on the Word of God. That you need to allow the Word to grow in your life and bring you to a place where you allow that life to so conceive in you that you actually begin to experience it. Jesus said in, where is it? Oh, I can't remember. John 8:36. It says there, that him whom the Son sets free is free indeed. John 8:31 and 32 says that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. It also says there that the Word or the truth will set us free. And Jesus also tells us that he that hath the Son or hath the Word hath life. Now, if you have that Word conceived in you and it's starting to bring forth that life, you're going to start walking in it. It's going to start and show. You know when, you ladies, your mothers know what I'm talking about. After 2 or 3 months, you begin to show that you're pregnant. You begin to get a little bit rotund, is the word, I think. You know what I mean? Well, you get the Word in and it'll begin to show. You suddenly realize you're an overcomer. You suddenly realize you're victorious. You suddenly realize that all your needs are met through the Word. And it begins to show on your face, in your body as you get health, in your bank book as you suddenly find you've got finances there that you didn't know about. Listen, I tell you, we can give you testimony where we've had to talk to our wallets and to our purses and tell them to receive it. Be in there. Finances, be in that in Jesus' name. And we've had to do it. Now, we never looked to the bank book to tell us or the wallet to say that there was finance there. We went there in faith saying, thank you, Lord, we've received it. And I can tell you, Betty's opened her purse and there's been money there. I don't know how it got in there. I didn't put it in. God somehow or other got it there. And I want to tell you, God doesn't throw your dollar bills down from heaven. If he did, he'd be a counterfeiter and he obeys the laws of the land. you find that finances come through the body of Christ. But miraculously, time and time again, we've moved into the realm, particularly in the area of finance, because as a faith minister, we live by faith. We live by faith. We've got to live by what we preach. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time. All right, praise the Lord. What are we saying? Oh, yeah, that must allow this word, this truth, this word, to conceive in us. Let the victory conceive in you. Let the fact that you are a winner conceive in you. And begin to live that life. Begin to live it, because that is the life that will set you free. Verse 14 in John chapter 1 there says this, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now let me throw in a little thought for you here, which is not what I'm sharing, but it's just a thought by the way, and I want you to think about it. You'll find that some of the things that I teach will start to blow your mind a little bit. That is, your natural mind, you start moving into the mind of the Spirit, you'll receive them. That verse says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Adam lost something in the garden, and I'll tell you what he lost. He lost his position, he lost his place of reigning, he lost his place of ruling, but he lost his covering, he lost his glory. After he fell from the place that God had put him in, he went and hid in the garden. And his words were, I was afraid, and I suddenly realized I was naked, and he started making a little outfit for himself out of leaves and so forth. He'd lost the glory, the covering of God. Beloved, when we get the Word in, it says, we beheld his glory. Whose glory? The Word's glory. Jesus' glory. You get the Word in, you got the glory in. And the glory will start to show on your face. The glory will start to shine in your life. And Jesus came, and it'll tell you in Matthew 28 and verse 20, it says there that he gave the disciples some instructions, and he gave them everything. All authority, he said, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, I'm giving it to you, and go out in that authority. Adam lost it in the garden. Jesus took it back from Satan after Calvary, when he went in and met Satan on his own ground. He took it right back off him again, and when he was resurrected, he gave it back to you and to me. And he came to give us back the authority, the glory, the position. Romans 5:17 tells us that we shall live in this life, or reign in this life. Reign in this life. Reign in this life. That's today. Hallelujah. You can say amen. Praise the Lord. We will reign in this life as kings. Not the next one. This life. Today. Are you living like a king? Ecclesiastes 8:4 tells us that when a king speaks, he releases power. There's a power in the words of kings. What's the verse? I've got to think about it. Where the words of a king is, there's power released. I can't. That's paraphrased, something like that. But it says there that when a king speaks, people just move to do his bidding. Romans 5:17 tells us that we should live in this life as kings and priests. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 says, we are kings and priests unto our God. But you know something? Most of the body of Christ are living like beggars. They're not living like kings at all. They think, well, it wouldn't be humble if I drove a big motor car, drove a whatever it might be. I'm trying to be careful I don't say the name of the motor car here in case I offend anyone. I don't care what sort of car you drive. I don't know what sort of car you drive, but if you happen to drive a Daimler or a Rolls Royce or something of that nature, God bless you in it. But you see, most of us are content to get around in our little couple-tapeny, $500 motor cars, and be content with that. Now, I'm not against $500 motor cars. Betty's car cost me $699, and it goes like a little beauty. But God provided it for us. But if you're a king, and you should be living like a king, getting around in what the Lord has provided for you, not struggling, whether it's worth $500 or $5,000 or $50,000, that's unimportant. The value of it isn't the thing. It's the fact that God has provided. And so many of us are struggling to try and stay in what we think God has provided. Now, do you see what I'm saying? That we are struggling to make the next payment on God's provision. Go with me. You know, we go out and we buy our new car at $10,000. And you don't get much of a car under $10,000 today if you go to buy a new one. Most of them are in the range of $12,000, $15,000, I suppose. And by the time you take it over the next 4 years and put your interest charges on, your $10,000 car suddenly becomes something like $23,000 or $24,000 you've paid over 4 years for. Now, if that's living in God's provision, I don't think that's blessing. I think that's a trap. We've been in it, but praise God, we're out of it. Hallelujah. By faith. We've extricated ourselves
from the financial problems that we've had. And man, I tell you, I've had financial problems. I've had to learn this. I've had to make it work for me. I didn't sort of come in at the top, you know, and suddenly it was all there. I had to start off down there. When we had problems, I had to start believing God. I had to start trusting God. We had to start reaching out and believing God for our next meal many times when we first started the work over in Melbourne. We didn't have even this many people then. No, there was Betty and myself and three children to start with. That was our first church in Melbourne, five of us. But praise God, the moment we opened the doors, there was 50 people there. And they all crowded into our lounge room. Hallelujah. Why? Because God was in it. And I want to tell you, beloved, if you're here today, even for the first time or the second time or the third time, let me encourage you to get into this word, to get pregnant on this word, to allow this word to begin to develop in you, because it's only the word that's going to set you free. You see, Satan's power has been destroyed. He is already defeated. The only thing he has against you and against me is deception. He is a defeated foe because Jesus has already defeated him. Now let that seed begin to conceive in your spirit, that you are a winner and that Satan is under your feet. My pastor in Melbourne, Pastor Waterman, he says, well, the devil is only 2 millimeters high because he's onto your feet. And he says when the Christians discovered where the devil was, that's when they all started to dance. You see, the devil is already defeated. He's already defeated. The entrance of his word bringeth light. You put on the light, the darkness goes out. It's got to go. That's how God ordained it. And his word works. We live under the law of his word. And if you are living under the law of his word, now I'm not talking about the law, that is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and so on. I'm not talking about it way back there. I'm not talking about that law. I'm talking about the law of the Spirit of his word. The letter killeth, but the Spirit bringeth life. So if you walk in that word, then you're going to be walking in life. If you allow the Holy Ghost to place this word down in you and begin to take root, then it's going to conceive into victory in whatever area it is. Maybe you don't like to go into a little cupboard like that and close the door. Well, you just take a verse which says something like, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And let that conceive in you and bring to birth the fact that even if you're in there and the door's closed, he's still with you. Then you'll not be worried about going in there. What about 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of joy and sound mind and so on. And start letting that sort of thing conceive in you. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 21. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 21. And begin to see what happens when you allow the word to conceive in you. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for some things are yours. Is that what it says? No, it says, for all things are yours. All things are yours. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come. All things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. You see, we run around struggling, trying to get things so often, without knowing that they're already ours. All the things that we have need of, they're already ours. The devil's just keeping us out of them. And when we submit ourselves to God, start walking in the Word, then we recognize who we are, what belongs to us, and we will tell the enemy to take his hands off our property, and he will go. When I'm praying, and look, I'll relate to finances. That's easy. You all understand finances. When I'm praying about finance, I go to the Word, and I'll find 4 or 5 scriptures that relate to the provision of God, particularly in the area of finance. Something like where it says in the Psalms there that the Lord takes delight in the prosperity of his servant. That sort of scripture. I like that. Hallelujah. And I'll get 4 or 5 of those, and I'll pray with those, and let them begin to conceive in me. Let that word begin to build up inside of me. Now, this may take me 24 hours to do this, or 36 hours. Depends on what we're believing God for in the area of finance. And I'll let that word begin to grow in me. And you know, after a little while, I'll come to a place where I'll say, yeah, see, that's right. I know that. God does take delight in the prosperity of the servant. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I believe that. Not with my head, but I believe it in my heart. And that's the time when my faith then goes out and gets that I'm praying for.
doesn't go out before that.
It goes out when the Word has produced it in my heart. You see, so many times we try to reach out and believe God for that new car, for that new house, for that new whatever it is. I don't care what it is. And we're trying to get a $10,000 car with a tuppence halfpenny faith. And it won't work. The Word produces the faith. Get the Word in the area that you want it. Let it conceive in you. Let it come to birth. And then you can reach out and receive that thing by faith. And faith is the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. If you see it, you don't need any faith. Faith is reaching out into the unknown and receiving that and bringing it back in to where you want it. Right now, Betty and I are working up a faith in our spirits about something. And we're probably talking in the region of $15,000 right now. We're just working it up in our spirits. When we haven't reached out to receive it yet, we're just working the Word in. And that's what we're doing right now. We're just working the Word in for this particular situation. And we're just looking to the Lord that as we allow ourselves to get pregnant on that Word, that Word is going to produce. You see, it says in Mark 4 that the sower sows the seed. There it is. That's the seed. The sower sows the seed. And some fell by the wayside, some fell on the stony ground, some fell here, and some fell there. And if you read the story in Mark 4, you'll find the very first thing that happened was that the fowls of the air came and took away the seed. You see, the first thing that will happen today when you go out through those doors, and it may even be happening now, is that the enemy, who is the fowls of the air, will come and try and steal the seed out of your heart. He doesn't want the seed to conceive in you because the seed produces the results. The farmer doesn't produce the harvest. The farmer plants the seed produces the harvest. See? Mm-hmm. All right. So you must allow the Word to conceive in you if you are going to grow and come to that place. Let that Word get deep down into you. Let it become a part of you and recognize that God has given you everything that you need. And as the bride, you and I are married to Christ. That we are a joint heir with Him. That all things that He has are ours. When you ladies took on a husband, he stood there at the altar with you and he said, "With all my worldly goods I thee and die." Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ come and lifted the body and he said, "With all my goods I thee and die." All things are yours and mine. They're ours, beloved. They're already ours if we would begin to allow the truth of the Word to conceive in us. Ephesians chapter 1. Turn over a couple more pages. Now, don't get too worried. I only preach for an hour and a half at any time. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians 1, 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now let's stop there for a second. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That word "blessed" means eulogize or speak well of. And what Paul is saying here to the church at Ephesus is that we should be eulogizing the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ who hath, if you were here Friday night, you saw how good a speller I was and how well I can write on the board, who hath, that's past tense, who hath past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, how many spiritual blessings was that? We have already been blessed with all spiritual blessings. It's already ours, beloved. All things are ours if we would start to walk in it and to recognize it. You've been blessed with heaven's best. Spiritual blessings. And you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, it tells us here. You've already received the blessing of a royal line. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us that you are a royal priesthood, a chosen people. You see, we are kings and priests. We're royalty. I heard Charlie Widdowson one time down in Melbourne. I don't know, anyone know Charlie Widdowson? All right, some of you have heard of Charlie. Charlie was preaching, and he was preaching about being a king and a priest. And he says, "You want to touch a king?" He said, "Here you go. Just touch me. I'm a king. There's royal flesh. I'll let you touch it today." And I think that made an impact on me because I suddenly realized what he was getting at. That we are kings and priests unto God. That we are royalty. That we are of royal line. We've been adopted into the family. Hallelujah. Just as Jesus was adopted into Joseph's family. All right. All the miracle power that you would need hath already been given to you. All the healing power that you need hath already been given to you. All the blessing that you need, the blessing of God makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it, is what the Scripture says. It's already yours. It's already yours. It's already in your hand. Do you remember when Moses was being sent by God down into Egypt to bring out the prisoners, the children of Israel? And Moses said, well, you know, I can't go because I'm a stutterer. He said, I can't speak. He said, don't worry about it. I'll send your brother-in-law with you. He'll be able to speak for you. And he said, how am I going to do all these things you want me to do, God? And he said, well, what's that you got in your hand? He said, oh, it's a stick. He said, well, throw it down on the ground. And it became a serpent. He said, now grab it by the tail. And it became a stick again. You see, all that Moses needed, he already had hold of. All that we need, we already have hold of. It's already ours. We've got it, beloved. But we don't know it yet. We've got to sit under this sort of faith teaching of God's Word, beloved. And I want to tell you, it doesn't come overnight. It doesn't come overnight. Man, I could listen to this type of ministry for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I know many of you receive tapes and so forth. And I've got a fellow in Melbourne who I think will eventually be coming over here to join us in the ministry over here. And 3 years ago, he was an alcoholic. In his own home, he had a job as a representative, but he was drinking himself and his family into oblivion. And he was watching television one Sunday morning, and the Full Gospel Businessman program came on. And when somebody came on that program, they gave a testimony about being set free from alcohol. And of course, they put the number on. Do you get the program over here? And Good News is called. Well, in Melbourne, they always flash a telephone number on the thing, and it says, "If you want some help, phone this number." So he got on the phone, and he dialed this number, and he happened to get on to the international director, Harold Lawrence. And Harold said, come and see me. So he went to see him that afternoon. This was Sunday morning. He rang him. He went to see him in the afternoon, and he led him to Christ. And then he said, well, where do you live? And he said, well, I live in Watsonia, and that's the next suburb to where our fellowship is. And he said, well, you go and see Norman Campbell. And he sent him along to the church, and he came along on that Sunday night. I can remember him being there, just a small group of people like this. And he stood there in the meeting, you know, before it started. And then he sat down and we made an altar call and so forth. And he came out at the end of the meeting for prayer. And he'd already been saved in the afternoon. But he hadn't received anything other than salvation. Now, that was good. He was born again and he knew it. But he came out and he said, there's got to be more. I need more. And we prayed for him. And he was set free from a number of things in his life which are unimportant to be named. But we laid hands on him, and he began speaking in tongues, just like that. And I believe that's how it ought to be. I mean, every person that we pray for gets baptized in the Spirit right away. No point in saying, look, well, go away and pray about it and come, and, you know, maybe God will do it next week or next month. No, it's received by faith, so you got it today. So we prayed for him. He received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that fella moved into the fellowship, and his wife came in and his son, and they all got saved and filled and baptized in water. All was a beautiful story. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make about his life is this, that he took on the responsibility for doing the taping, which Rod is doing over here. And that we did our taping not on these newfangled machines like we got today, but we did it on an old reel-to-reel machine. Now, that meant that he had to sit there with his earphones on and listen to every word that I preached. Then he had to take it home with him, and he had to transfer it from the reel-to-reel onto a cassette, and he had to listen to it again. Then he had to edit it and put in the introduction and do all the bits and pieces, and he had to listen to it a third time. Every message I preached, he must have listened to it about four or five times because he had to check it, make sure it was all complete before we'd send them out. And that fellow went from being an alcoholic to where today, after just 3 years, he can stand up and preach the word as well as I can. He's leading meetings for us, and God has his hand on him, and he's going to move out into ministry. Why? Because he's just heard the word. And I want to tell you, we are excited about the tape ministry, and I just mentioned this. This is not a brag on Norman Campbell. This is a brag on God. Last year, we sold 15,000 copies of our tapes throughout the world. Our tapes have gone into Japan. They've gone into America. They've gone over to Britain. They've gone all over the place. Tapes of this faith-teaching ministry. And I want to tell you, dear ones, if you sit under this word on a regular basis, and that's why we started Thursday nights, that if you will sit under this word regularly, you will go to the place that I'm telling you that you can be at today. But you've got to allow the word to conceive in you. You've got to come alive to the fact that the victory is yours. Come alive to the fact that it's already yours. You see, so many times we work up a sweat trying to believe, you know. Well, I'm just trusting God. Hallelujah. One of these days, God is going to heal me. One of these days, God is not going to heal you. Faith is now. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is. If it's not now, it's not faith. If it's one of these days, it's hope. Faith is today. Thank you, Lord. I receive my healing right now. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. My body doesn't tell me I'm healed, but my faith is the evidence that tells me I'm healed. So I walk on the evidence, which is the word of God, and therefore I'm healed. And if anybody asks me I'm healed, I may still be on a walking frame, or I may be on a walking stick. My answer to them will be, well, I believe the word. I'm not interested in my body. My body's got no good news for me, but the word has good news. By his stripes I was healed. Thank you very much. See, start letting the word produce. Start letting the word produce. Jesus said a man is justified or condemned by the words of his mouth. If we're not saying what the word says, then we're going to be condemned. But if we are saying what the word says, then we're going to agree with God. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1 says, wherefore, holy brethren, consider Jesus Christ, the high priest and apostle of our profession. And if you look in the Greek, you'll find that profession means saying the same thing as God says. Now, Jesus Christ is the high priest and apostle of our profession. Let me show you it on the blackboard. And if you don't get it while I'm telling you it, I have a book out there called Word, Faith, Works, and you'll find this in the book. I wrote the little booklet. It's a green one on the table out there. It'll cost you a dollar. Jesus Christ, where is Jesus today? Anyone tell me, where is the Lord today? I know he's in your heart, but what is his ministry today? He's an intercessor. He's our high priest. He's seated at the right hand. At the right hand of the Father. The right hand of the Father. And he's in his high priestly ministry, high priest, or intercessor. Now, this is what happens. Can we say this is God over here, and there's Jesus on his right hand? Now, here we are down in Noralunga Christian Center, and we're praying and believing God for good things. We're saying, hallelujah, Lord. We receive an increase in numbers by faith today. I let that word conceive in me, which says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and that he added to the church daily such as should be saved. So therefore I let that conceive in me, and here we are, down in NCC, that's not Norman Campbell, it's Noralunga Christian Center, and here we are praying, and we receive it from the word. Okay? Now, this is the operation. God sent his word, and it came down through prophets of old, and eventually it became what we call today a Bible, came from parchment and all the rest, down onto a Bible. Now, here we are at Noralunga Christian Center. We're preaching from this Bible. We're preaching this word. And faith is starting to grow in our hearts as the Holy Ghost makes that word real to us. We allow it into our, that is a heart, if you believe it. That is a heart. We allow that word to conceive in our heart and begin to produce. Now, Jesus said that if you ask the Father anything in my name, I will give it to you. How do we pray? We don't pray to God in God's name. We've got to pray in Jesus' name. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. So we start praying. Father, we receive that increase right now. In the name of Jesus. And our prayer goes in. Now Jesus is the high priest of what we say. Consider Jesus the high priest and apostle of our profession. Hebrews 3:1 and Hebrews 4:13, I think it is, same verse. So, our prayer gets up as far as our high priest, and he looks at it, and we're praying up to God the Father in the name of Jesus. Jesus receives our prayer up here. He looks at our prayer. Say that's our prayer, just for the benefit of your senses. There's our prayer going up. Jesus looks at it, and he says, yes, that's based on the word of God. That is based on word. So he takes it into the Father. He presents it to the Father, because he's our intercessor. And he says, Father, here is this prayer from those people at Noralunga Christian Center. My brothers and my sisters down there in the south of Adelaide, they are praying and receiving by faith the answers that they need to see that church full of people. The Father looks at it and he says, okay, son, I agree that that is based on my word. So what happens then? There is a third party in the Godhead called the Holy Ghost. And he is the worker, if you like, of the Godhead. He is the one who is producing today. He is the one who is doing all the work. We've had the dispensation of the Father. We've had the dispensation of the Son. We are now today in the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. what happens is this. God looks at our prayer and says, right, that's correct. He then sends the Holy Spirit with the answer. The Holy Ghost comes with the answer, and the answer comes down, and this is what happens. We receive the answer by faith. We say, thank you, Lord. Oh, I've received that answer. Right? Now, we've received the answer, but it's still only faith. We don't have the people in. So we've received it by faith. And faith, Hebrews 11:1, is the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. So we've received it by faith. So we've allowed that word to conceive in us, and we then put our faith out. Thank you, Lord. Our faith goes out there, and here's all these people wandering around, Port Nolunga, with nothing to do. They're lost. Some of them even belong to this church at one time. Some of them belong to other churches. They don't go anywhere now. Our faith goes out and just envelops them and brings them back in here. And they sit down and they hear the word of God and they get set free. Can you see that? That's how it works, beloved. It doesn't work any other way. It works by faith, and it's the word that will produce in you. And when you pray, it goes up and comes back down again. Now, for a fuller explanation of that, as I say, you'll find it there in that little booklet that we've written. Now, where were we? I've forgotten where we were. We were in, what, Ephesians, were we? Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, somewhere about there. All right, that'll do. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, that, just let me throw another scripture on here for you, just so you know. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, where God said, no word that he speaks will return to him void, but it shall purpose in the thing that he sent it to, and it'll produce, and all the rest of it. So God spoke it, it came down to us, and it's gone right full circle back up to him again by our speaking it through our high priest. So it is returned to him, and then it's when the answer starts to be produced, and the word is then fruitful as we have believed it. All right, now, just let me quickly try and bring this to a conclusion for you. All that we need is already provided for. It's already ours. We have received it because the word says so. Not because we feel like we've got it, not because we feel like we're healed, but it's already ours. You see, in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4:3, verse 3 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. That word sorrows means pains, and acquainted with grief. Grief means sickness. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, that means sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, that means pains, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And then it says, and with his stripes we are healed. Now that was spoken before Jesus went to Calvary. So before Jesus went to Calvary, we are healed. Now, since he's gone to Calvary, 1 Peter 2:24 takes that up. And it says, by his stripes, we were healed. It happened at Calvary. You were healed at Calvary. It was your sickness was nailed to the tree. At Calvary's tree, Jesus took your sickness. Jesus took your, I don't care what it is, cancer. Jesus took your rheumatism. Jesus took your flu, whatever it is, it's already been dealt with. All things are yours. You've already got the answers. And all you've got to do is start to let that word begin to conceive in you. Begin to let it come forth. Begin to let it begin to produce what it is that you want in your life. Let me throw a few more scriptures at you as we just come to a close. Proverbs 15. Check that for you. It's the wrong verse. Proverbs 15 and 26, that's the one. Proverbs 15, 26. It says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Proverbs 15, 26. The thoughts of the wicked, who are the wicked? They are the ungodly. And listen, beloved, the wicked, and I'm not going to get into a discourse with you on this right now, I don't happen to believe in the doctrine that once saved, always saved. Okay, so that you know where we stand. The wicked are those who are already lost, and also those who turn back, who have been saved and are not any longer walking with the Lord. Can we say ex-Christians? No, that doesn't even sound right. Backsliders is better. All right, now let me read that verse again. Having put that on the board for you, verse 26, it says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Go back a few pages to the Psalms or the Psalms. Depends what your background is. I call them Psalms. I don't spell it S-A-M, but it's that's how I pronounce it anyway. Psalm 10 and verse 4. Psalm 10, starting at verse 4, says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God." Now, does that sound like those who are already lost and also like backsliders? The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. You know, backsliders start drifting away from the church. They don't come to the prayer meetings. They don't go to the ladies' meetings. You find they only come maybe one Sunday in every three or four. They don't come along here. They don't get involved. Why? Because they're starting to backslide. Now, I know people can have job responsibilities and work and all of that. I'm looking past that. I'm talking about those who are, in their heart, going away from God. Those are just classic signs that we as ministers see in people's lives. It says, "They will not seek after God. God is not in their thoughts or his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them." All right? "Now he hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud, and under his tongue there is mischief and vanity." All right, now we needn't go any further into that. But God is not in their thoughts. The wicked, God is not in their thoughts. You see, beloved, what we've got to do, and I'll just say this plainly, I can't put it any other way, so forgive me if you're offended by what I say, that's not my intention. We need to abort the negative words in our lives and let the positive words come to birth. We need an abortion of the negative, fear-filled, negative things that are in our lives, and we need to allow the positive words of God, allow that old devil-inspired life that we've been living, even as Christians, some of us, allow that to miscarriage and go in our life. Let it be finished and allow the word to begin to produce in our life. Start thinking the way the Lord thinks. Start thinking Father's words. Matthew 17. Look, I could keep going all day, but I'll have to bring it to a close. Matthew chapter 17 and verse. I'm just going to finish on this last little bit for you here, and I'll have to wind it up on it. But Matthew 17:14 is a story there, and it says, "When they were come to the multitude, there came a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, and oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Now listen to what Jesus said to the disciples in the next verse. All right, listen. "Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour." Now, if you read on down here, you'll find that the disciples then come to him when he's apart. The big heavy questions always come when he's away from everyone else. They don't ask the heavies when he's with his brother. It's always when he's by himself. "Why, Lord, could we not do it?" And listen to what Jesus says, verse 20. Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief." Now, he's talking to his disciples, the ones who walked on the water, the ones who unstopped the deaf ears, who in later chapters, as you read through, the ones who were the great big heavies and who argued about who would sit nearest to him in the kingdom. He's talking about the ones who were closest to him, and he says, "Because of your unbelief." Now, I wonder why he said, "Because of your unbelief." Go back with me into Matthew 10. Matthew 10, keep your finger in Matthew 18 if you are, beg your pardon, Matthew 17, and go back to Matthew 10, and I'm going to finish on this point. Matthew 10, verse 1, listen. "He called unto him his 12 disciples, and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness." And yet 7 chapters later, they can't do it. Why? Because they didn't believe the words that he spoke. And today the church is full of people who won't believe the word. Let the word conceive in you. And Jesus won't call you faithless and perverse or full of unbelief. He'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, because your word is life. It brings us into liberty. It sets us free. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give you alone glory for what you've achieved in our lives today. Thank you, Father, that you've given me opportunity to teach this word to the people in Adelaide. Now, we know, Lord, that you're opening up doors for this ministry to go through. And, Father, we say, as you open the doors, we'll go through and preach this word. And we bless you for that. Because, Lord, your church needs to hear your word, needs to allow your word to grow in them, to conceive in them, and to bring them through to a place where they are winners day by day by day by day. Now, Father, as we come to the end of our service, thank you for your presence. We appreciate that, Lord. We know you're here because you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. You said, Father, that if we would go to the ends of the earth, we wouldn't be able to get away from you. If we went into heaven or into hell, you'd still be there. So, Father, we just thank you that wherever we are, there you are. And, Father, greater than that, we recognize, as we said last Thursday night, that we are living epistles, that we are the Word of God, read and known of all men as we allow the Word to conceive in us and to produce life. Then people recognize Jesus in us, recognize the Word, the living Word, in us. And, Father, we then will go forth and do the things that Jesus said, which were even greater than those things that he did, because he said we would do it. So, Father, we thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.